Welcome to the Realm of the Fantasy Gods, where we chat all things AFL Fantasy Classic. I'm Nick.
Are we still doing this fantasy football thing? Does anyone care about fantasy football?
You were up and about halfway through the weekend, Chris. I presume you're thrilled with this weekend. Is that how it ended out?
No. Friday, great day. Saturday, yeah, not too bad a day. Sunday.
So I get a Facebook message from you.
Yeah, yeah.
Saying, Nick! Exclamation marks everywhere. I'm ranked in the top 500.
Oh, I knew that wasn't going to last. That was just something silly because I had a whole bunch of dogs and crows in my team.
You weren't telling me any of this.
They scored really well on the Friday, and so I just made up all of those, you know, 400 or 500 points or whatever that I was behind those top teams. But yeah, I realized that they were going to have players come and push me back in my place, which I got well and truly pushed back in my place.
You didn't end the round top 500 then?
No. I barely went up in rankings at all. I've just had a really stressful day. I had one of those matches that I really wanted to win this week. I really needed to win the league match, and I'm sitting there watching the scores tick over live, and I'm down by 5 points. I'm down by one. I'm up by three. I'm up by nine. Oh, I'm down by three. I'm up, you know, there was this fight between these players right at the end, and I went down by five. And I threw the whole kitchen sink at winning this league match. I didn't do the sensible trades.
No, you lied to us.
I tried to lie to my opponent to say, I'm just double downgrading this week. Nothing to worry about.
Did you double downgrade, Chris?
I brought in McRae and Rocky. no, I did not double downgrade. But I was just sick of making those sensible trades just keep plunging towards the darkness as I was doing it. So,
well, they were good trades.
Well, these ones were. So I traded an injured Hurley, and I also traded Billings because I'm like, I'm not carrying that anymore. And so I chucked Hurley and Billings out, and I brought in McRae and Rocky.
I didn't realize you did two sideways.
But they were good trades. They made me a lot more points. I'm much more competitive, but I really, really wanted to win and
didn't get there.
Didn't get there. Just fell short. But Krisky was just going, nope, we're going to be Krisky. The other Krisky thing I did was I brought in Rocky and I captained him.
Oh, he did pretty well this weekend, didn't he, Rocky?
Oh, he was on like 99 at three quarter time. I was laughing.
Ready for 150.
Yeah, because I thought, yeah, he's been averaging 33 quarter. He'll get another 33. That'll take him to 132 plus a bit of junk time up into the 140s, up to 150 as they kick it around because they're beating the Suns. He got an extra 7 points in that last quarter. That's all he got to 106.
What, did he get injured?
No, they just went, you've done your job today. You can rest up now. Put your feet up, pig. Whereas McRae, if I'd captained him, or Tom Mitchell, who I had shown the faith with and captained him every single week, even through those last couple of horrible weeks, and finally I went, no, I'm not going to stick with him. He pumps out 149. If I'd chosen McRae or Mitchell, I would have won. So I made some mistakes, but I'm happy having McRae Rocky in my team and Billings gone and Hurley gone. So you can't make any more Hurley jokes at me anymore.
So you traded Hurley out for McRae. So what's McRae going to average for the rest of the season? 180.
He's averaging 131 at the moment. So I'll call that 131. There you go.
Wow. Okay. You are an optimist, Chris. My goodness. He will not average 131 for the rest of the season.
He got 144 on the weekend. He pushed it up. Teams, surely they're going to have to like try and stop McRae somehow.
If he averages 120, you'd have to be happy.
I'm expecting at least 125 from him.
You certainly brought him in when he was expensive.
I know. Yeah, but he's gone up. So he's even more expensive now.
Yeah, but no one is going to bring him in this round. You'd have to be an idiot to bring in McRae this round.
Really?
Yes.
Well, what's he scored in his last, you know, 4 or 5 games?
I don't care. It's like the stock market. You don't buy when a company's at its record prices. No, don't be stupid.
But some people are saying maybe he's a must-have. I mean, he probably is a must-have come the end of the year. But
no, he's not.
His last 4 scores, well, he just got 144 week before, 155 week before that, 151 week before that, 145. Once he went below 100, and that was 99. So he is killing it this year.
He's killing it at the moment, yes, in those last 4 weeks.
He's the highest averaging player in the competition. So what, wouldn't that make him a must-have then? Wouldn't you want to have the highest averaging player in the competition in your team?
Of course you would want to have him in your team.
Well, he's in my team.
You're not going to spend $900,000 to get him in your team when he hasn't averaged more than 104 points ever.
Yeah, he's looking good.
He's not like Rocky. Like, you know, when we used to start the season with Dane Swan or Rocky, you do that because you know that he's going to average 115 at the least. This dude hasn't averaged 110 in his career.
He's going 125 at least this year.
You would think so.
Yeah.
I mean, halfway through the season, he's already averaging 131. You'd think so, yeah. But it's not guaranteed.
No, no.
So he's not a must-have yet. But if you had him, yeah, you'd be delighted. Of course you would. I wish I had him in my team.
I paid a lot for him, but I'm happy he's there. I didn't do the sensible trades, but I feel better for not having done the sensible trades. I'll do sensible trades this week. That's okay.
So you must have, like, a bunch of rookies that need to be traded out.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. All right, yeah. We'll get to that later anyway. So what'd you score?
Well,
with all these upgrades that you've just wasted your trades on. No, they weren't even upgrades. They were sideways, weren't they?
Yeah, it left my defense very weak. I got 2,063, and I was looking a pretty sure thing against beating you and getting my third Halo for the season, and you just came through just here on Sunday. You want everyone getting really good Sunday scores, and what did you finish on?
2077.
If I'd captain McRae or Mitchell, it would have been a Halo.
Sunday is the holy day, Chris.
All right. So did you go up or down in rankings with that? You would have gone down a little bit, right?
Yeah, down about 1,000, I think.
Yeah. Sounds like 2,100 or so was about par by the sounds of it. So
yeah. So I've slipped to 7,800. This is the turning point this round for me. This week is the first week that my season average has gone up. My season average has gone down every week for the first 8 weeks. How is that possible? Surely my team should be getting better every week.
Well, we started off so, so well.
2,200 and something my first week was.
Yeah, same.
And it's just been getting progressively worse. It's depressing looking at it.
Who was your demigod? Who deserved a little bit of sainthood?
I am very pleased to bring this up, Chris.
Okay.
My demigod for this week is Elliot Yeo. What a bloody legend.
I don't want it. Yeo was the one right at the death there that I was fighting against. And he was injured and I went, yep, I've got it in the bag. Went off to the change rooms for like 20 minutes. I went, yep, this is it. This is easy.
On five points,
I'm just going to romp this in. Then he comes out in the second half and just
boom, boom, boom.
Went absolutely berserk and beat me by 5 points.
So he scored 105 points after coming back halfway through the...
Yeah, it was halfway through the second term or something he came back.
Yep, on. Scored 105 points after that.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah. So that cost me a Halo, a game, everything. So he's your demigod. Speaking of the gods, there might have been a god involved in this.
Oh, there was.
This week's sponsor of the Realm of the Fantasy Gods relates to this, I think.
Oh!
Oh, no! My star player has just gone down with an injury. And in the first quarter. Gosh darn it. Whatever am I going to do?
I'm Reverend Billy G. Johnson III, and it sounds like you've got an injured soul on your hands.
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, to save yourself in these dark times, you need salvation. You need to give your life to Fantasy Jesus, and to show your commitment, send a monthly payment of $50 to Resurrection Ministries today. Then, by the power vested within me, I will lay my hands on your injured soul and resurrect him to a life of point-scoring bliss.
Could you jab a needle in him as well?
No, we don't do that anymore. Did you see Elliot Yeo on the weekend?
Oh, yes, sir.
That's the power of Fantasy Jesus.
Oh, how much do I pay, sir?
Oh, don't ask yourself how much it costs. Ask yourself how much it costs not to come under the services of the Resurrection Ministries. But it does cost you $50 a month.
Here you go, sir. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, son.
Oh, look at him go. He's even better than before. Thank you. Thank you, Reverend Billy G. Johnson III.
Yep, that's my guy. That's my guy. I can highly recommend his services.
So you utilized him. That's how, I mean, we had that connection with him, didn't we? So, yeah.
Yeah, well, that got me number 7 Halo. Without that, I was screwed.
Unfortunately, I didn't have any players go down with injury to have to get them back up again. Damn it.
So who was your demigod then?
Oh, my demigod?
Got to be McRae, surely. You bring someone in, he scores 140, whatever.
Just hurts that I didn't captain him. The reason I didn't captain him was all the talk about, you know, will Adelaide team tag him? They brought in Sam Gibson. Is he going to go straight to him? And they tried to tag him. It didn't stop him.
Do you reckon those rumours are started by people that don't own him in fantasy? They just don't want the people that own him to captain him?
I don't know if anyone's trying to underhandedly trying to get one up on you in something like that. But Sam Gibson did come into the team. They did run a player with him. They did, you know, Sam ran with him all game and was all over him. But McRae wasn't one of those. I watched it and he just wasn't. It was pouring rain in that game, absolutely pelting down. But he didn't stand still. He just kept moving. He just kept getting in there. He just didn't let it slow him down at all. Whereas it seems that some players, when they get tagged, they just sort of get really despondent.
Is this Tom Mitchell and Zach Merritt and Dane Zorko? Is that what they do?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it was also because it was wet. It just meant that there was so much play in and around the stoppages, and you know, it's just hard to stop someone in that situation when that's his game. Is he wins so much of the ball. He's a great inside and outside player. I remember his first couple of seasons for the Dogs. One of the big things that people were really having a go at him for was that he wasn't hard enough in the clinches. He was a bit too soft, and now he's like the toughest guy in there. He's not a big brute, but he's just hard as nails for a medium-sized guy. Gets squashed all the time in the packs, but just keeps getting up, keeps going. He's amazing. So 100, yeah, demigod status for sure.
See, the reason I don't have him in my team is because when I look at his picture on the fantasy page, he looks like a schoolboy.
Yeah.
I don't want a schoolboy in my team.
Yeah, he doesn't look scary, but he's tough. And so I was really impressed by his game. And I felt so ripped off. Like, because the Crows were missing so many of their stars, you know, missing Tex and Sloan and McGovern and the Crouch brothers. And the Dogs were missing a few too, but not of that sort of caliber. And we were in a bit of form. They were looking in a bit of a slump. I went, here we go, our running game. We're going to beat them. This is a fantastic. And then it was just pouring with rain and it just cancelled out we're used to playing indoors, the Dogs. We don't like going outside. So especially in the rain, we don't remember what that's like. Adelaide adapted so much better to the conditions. So, I mean, that's just the way it happens. But it felt ripped off. But McRae did good.
So is he your demigod?
Yeah, he is, because he fought through a tag and got 144 in the pouring rain. I just should have shown more faith in him and captained him right from the start.
Take note, Tom Mitchell.
Who got 149.
Yeah, but he wasn't tagged. I presume he wasn't tagged.
No, he wasn't.
Because when he gets tagged, he gets 80.
Brisbane let him run free. And they won.
Who did? Brisbane did?
Yeah.
Great. That's great.
By a lot.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is good news for Tom Mitchell. There you go. You can beat Hawthorn without tagging Tom.
Yeah, don't worry about Tom. He's rubbish. Let him get 50 touches. Doesn't matter. All right, who are you sacrificing?
I mean, a lot of my players did all right or as expected. You know, I had Caulfield and Keefe back in the back line just scoring in the 40s, which was a bit of a pain, but they're rookies. I can't, you know, I wish I'd put Mirror on the field. He scored 93. Thank you for making a lot of money, Mirror. Brayshaw only got 54. This sounds crazy, but I want to give it to Rocky.
Give it to Rocky's fourth quarter.
That's it. That's what I want to give it to. That cost me, it cost me everything.
That's awesome.
That's what I'm giving it to. Who are you giving it to? Who did you sacrifice?
So unlike you, Chris, I brought in beep players this week. Oh, hang on. I'm not allowed to swear in this podcast, am I?
That's all right. Beep, beep.
I brought in rubbish players. So I was looking at upgrading one of my defenders. So I was looking at Sicily and Blakely and Whitfield.
Mm.
And like, you threw Lloyd at me and I was like, I'm not going back to Lloyd.
Oh,
yeah.
How much did Lloyd get?
Well done, Nick. Lloyd got 160 whatever.
163. Oh, my gosh.
Whitfield, who I brought in, got 70.
Yeah.
So Whitfield was my lowest scoring premium, and I brought him in this round.
Yeah.
I hate this game. Too many trades. If I didn't have all these bloody trades, I'd still have Lloyd. It's AFL Fantasy's fault. It's not my fault. See how I did that?
Yeah, passing the buck.
Well done, Nick.
Oh, man, I want Lloyd now. He's the one to have in the back line, isn't he? After that.
No, he was the one to have before that.
Yeah. But if he can hit 163, and that's the only, like, I was going to bring in Blakely this week, but I ended up bringing in McRae. I was going to put Blakely in the back line for Hurley.
He only got 80-something.
Yeah, but then I saw that he was up against the Swans, and I went, yeah, maybe this week isn't the week to bring in Blakely. And Ryan was the one, Luke Ryan was the one who had that role this week for Fremantle. He scored 104. They just, I don't know, like, give it to Blakely and just leave it there. Give him that perfect halfback role, that Freo role. But no, they keep sharing it around.
We don't like that at all.
No, we want certainty here. All right, so what else we got to look at?
Well, speaking of certainty, we're certain to be down two teams this week.
Yeah, and I'm not going to have my sacrifice this week. He's going to be out because I brought him in for 1 week, and then he's going to be out next week. But that's okay. I'm hoping I should have a win this week against the team. I'm matched up against the team that's on the bottom of our league. So I thought, I can do without Rocky this week as long as Deledio comes back in, please. And still got him on my bench. And so no Port players, no Sun players, because they've just come back from China. So, yeah, that's okay.
So how many Port or Suns players do you have in your team?
Well, there's Rocky on my field, and then there's Crossley, the ruck, on the bench, which doesn't matter. He only scored 29.
Ooh.
McInerney was the one to get for sure. Yeah, but that's fine. He can just sit there.
Yeah, okay.
So I just lose Rocky this week. That's not a big deal. But what you don't want to do is bring in Rocky this week.
No.
You don't want to bring in any Port or Suns players because they won't be playing. So if you're thinking of bringing in Rocky, that's next week's trade.
There's no one else you would have been thinking of bringing in. The Suns don't have anyone in their team.
Would you think about getting rid of Gray?
Yes. Trade Gray out immediately.
Because you can do that this week because he's not playing next week. So
no.
you could trade him out this week because Gray only got
61, I think.
Yeah, 61.
Yep, get rid of him.
But the thing is, like, if you don't trade him out, you keep him. You'll have him all through the buys when all these other players go missing in your team. Any Port or Suns players, while you won't have them next week, you will have them through rounds 12, 13, 14 when there's a whole bunch of your players missing. So it might be a good thing to hold him, but it also, because with Rocky playing midfield and Gray playing forward, Gray has to kick a lot of goals.
He's going to drop in value a lot.
He's pretty good value to, you could go, well, he's done his job.
Normally I say don't trade out your premiums, but he's a different kettle of fish because he's so dependent on the role he's playing.
Mm.
If he's back in that forward line, Rocky's taking up that midfield time. Nah, he's going to average 75 for the rest of the season, and that is not enough.
Sam Palpepa was playing midfield. He's going to get suspended. That might leave a spot in the midfield for Gray to. Why can't you have Gray and Rocky in there together? It just seems that you can't. They just don't do that at Port. It's one or the other.
Well, it's only been two games.
That's been the model. Rocky midfield, Gray forward.
That's certainly what they've done so far.
And on that trend, you might want to cash in Gray. But he's a great player. He can kick 7 goals. He can score over 100.
I don't care if he's a great player.
Yeah.
It makes no difference to me whatsoever.
Mr. Numbers.
You keep telling me Alex Rance is good.
He is.
I've never heard of Alex Rance.
Yeah. Westhoff is another one a lot of people have. He's also a forward.
Yeah, he's a manly looking player. I'd like him in my team.
One thing I will be doing, I've had a look at all the Suns and Power players because I'd like to start trading them in, not this week, but next week. Because they're going to be there all through the buys. And so I've had a look and there's just not much that interests me. Like Aaron Hall, potentially, he scored 115. He's been a good fantasy player in the past. He's had a shocking, shocking start to the season, but he's come good. And people are saying that he's close to being a shoe-in to get defensive status in round 12. So I would wait till then before I'd even consider it. But Aaron Hall might be one in round 12 that I will consider.
He is bloody cheap, 566K. I take it back. He might be one to consider.
Did you see how much Holman scored?
Moving right along. No one's got him still, surely.
Yeah, probably
not. He's got 104, didn't he?
108, I think it was. But then got injured in the last quarter. So I don't know if he'll be back anyway.
People weren't praying to the right God there then.
It was a bit late in the game.
Imagine if he had to come back on and scored 105.
So what do we need to talk about?
Well,
the buys.
So you were just talking about, you know, wanting to bring in Suns or power players to get in cover through the buys.
Yeah.
This week's, like, today is the first day I've even looked at the buys.
Yeah.
We've got 3 trades a week during the buys.
Yeah.
It's like a million. And so I was looking at it and I clicked on my little buy detector thing on the AFL fantasy page. And so it tells me I've got 6 players on a buy in round 12 and 12 on a buy the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so that's not very balanced. So that's not a good thing.
Well, the first bye, round 12 bye, there are only 4 teams missing from that, not 6 teams like in the other 2 byes, because...
Oh, is that why?
The Port and Suns have their bye in round 10 this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then in round 12, you've got Carlton, Hawthorn, West Coast and Western Bulldogs. So they've all got a bye. But for the, round 13 and 14, they're the ones that you have, you know, 1/3 of the competition isn't playing.
And we've got 3 trades in all 3 of those weeks.
Yeah.
We don't just have 2 trades in the round 12 week.
No, you got 3 in all 3 of those weeks.
Yeah, craziness.
You've only got 2 this week for the round 10 Port Sun bye. But yeah. So 6-12-12 isn't bad, man, because you're going into the first week strong and then you've got 3 trades to change that 12 into a 9, but you've also got another couple of weeks here leading up to it to set yourself up for it.
Well, that's the thing I was thinking about. Like, I was looking at it and I counted, like, how many players I could, like, because some of your bench players, you know, you can't expect to be playing. So, like, Darcy Cameron I've got on the bench and he's counted at some point. So I was counting through them and working out how many players I've got playing in each week, you know, assuming I do no trades from here to then.
Yep.
And I've got 22 the first week.
Yep.
16 the next week and 17 the next week. And that's without doing any trades.
Yeah, and you need 18. They take your best 18 scores from those 3 weeks in your team. And so you're nearly there.
So having done no planning whatsoever.
Yeah.
And having an unbalanced buy setup.
Yep.
I'm still fine.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, forget about buys. You don't need to worry about it at all.
I've got a balance of 10, 8 and 10.
Oh, that's perfect. My goodness, how'd you do that?
I just looked at it and went, oh yeah, that's pretty good. I didn't plan for it, but I actually have drawn up a buy planner, you know, on a piece of paper to map out my trades over these next weeks to make that 10, 8, 10 even better, you know. But more so, it's just about figuring out, okay, which players, which rookies do I have? When does their buy come? When am I going to get rid of them? Who am I going to get in from, you know, players from which teams? Because I do want to sort of like, I don't want to concentrate too much on just trying to get as big a score as possible each week during those weeks. I more want to concentrate on getting my team right because we don't have any league games. But I can map it out pretty much exactly as I want. I can get all of the rookies I want gone by the end of the buys and all of the players I want in by the end of the buys. However, that's if everything went perfectly. And everything won't, but enough will go right that I'll have a pretty good team by the end of the buys.
9 trades over 3 weeks.
I can get rid of all of this rubbish.
How many rookies do you have in your team?
Okay, so 6 in defense.
Yuck.
Yeah, so I've only got Laird and Whitfield. I did have Laird, Whitfield, Hurley, but just Laird and Whitfield.
Whitfield counts as a rookie, Chris.
No, he doesn't.
I've only just realized this, but he does.
Is he's not quite a premium, is he?
He looks like a teenager too, actually. What did I bring him in?
So I've got 6 in defense. I've got 4 in the midfield, 2 in the rucks on the bench, 3 in the forward line. My forward line is essentially, no, just 2 in the forward line. Sorry. My forward line is essentially complete. My midfield is 2 players away from being complete. When I say complete, I mean you're going to have that whole line filled with premiums. So my forward line is complete if Deledio plays. My midfield has got Kelly and Brayshaw sitting there. And it's my defense. There are Murray, Doudet, Caulfield, Keefe, Mirror, and I've now gotten rid of Norton and brought in Ridley. So there's just a lot of rookies back there. But that's what the buys are for. I'll fix that up.
That's not what the buys are for. Oh, I hate you, AFL Fantasy. I should just take those weeks off. Don't give you any trades over those weeks. Don't have any games. This is stupid.
You think it makes it too easy?
It does. We're going to have finished teams by round 15.
That is a worry.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, like I think I've got 12 rookies. I think that's the same number that you had. Right. And we've got 9 trades over that period.
Yeah, so essentially you can end up with, yeah, a full team.
I mean, obviously you're going to do upgrades and downgrades there. You're not just going to be able to do 9 upgrades. Yeah. But
I'm hoping by the end I'll have maybe 2 or 3 rookies on the field by the end of the buys. You know, but they'd be good ones by then, I would hope. You know, like I might still, as in like I might still have Murray come the end of the buys. You know, he's been a good defender. I might still have Doudé, but I think that'd be about it.
Bloody Doudé. I traded him out this week. I hate that guy.
But I have mapped out when they all should go. One of the reasons I got rid of Billings was because I don't need him, because with Rocky having forward status and if Delidio comes back in, my forward line being complete, I don't need Billings.
It would have been your F7.
Yeah, I don't need him. So he could just go before he loses any more cash, I decided. So
you also could have left him until, you know, 2 weeks away and then done the sideways trade.
Yeah, yeah. And Rocky could have played in the midfield in the time being. Yeah.
Or just not brought Rocky in.
Yeah. Anyway, I did what I did because I'm Krisky and stupid.
And it didn't work out.
And I don't listen to the gods, and the gods are stupid.
Well, I haven't exactly been setting the world on fire for the last 4 weeks.
So if you've got 30 players in your team all up, but you probably have at least 2 that, you know, will not be playing at all. So let's say you've got 28 players in your team. You'd have 2 rookies that would be just not happening for whatever reason. Then, and you need at least 18 players in a bye. So a 10 missing players, you can work with that. So you had 12 and 12 for round 12 and 13. So you just need to alter it a little bit.
Easy.
Yeah, too easy.
Yep. All right. So what alterations are you making this week? What trades you got lined up?
Well, Norton can go because he's, you know, out injured, but I just carried him on my bench because I needed to get rid of Billings and Hurley. So Norton has gone to Ridley, Essendon defender, scored 89. He's now worth...
He scored
89 points. He's $205,000, and Essendon came from the clouds and beat the Cats. They smashed the Cats. They're back.
Wow.
For 1 week, at least. But yeah, no, they look like a completely different team, Essendon. So, you know, and they did a huge shake-up of their team, a whole lot of new players in. Ridley was one of them. And with a score like that and a win, he's staying in the team for now.
That doesn't sound good for my buddy Kobe Much.
Well, he was listed as rested, not omitted. So he might still be considered. Like, Clark might go out and Much might come back in. Even because Clark, who was also the new guy that everyone was talking up, including myself, he only scored 46 points. He's a mid forward, so he didn't go up much in price. He's 180 something, so he's really cheap. And he's been scoring, you know, like 120, 130 and stuff in the reserves. So
bit different to going up against Selwood and Dangerfield and Ablett. A little bit different.
A lot of players in their first game just sort of bit like deer in headlights or something. You just, it's like, here I am, I'm out on the MCG, this is what my whole life has led towards, and now I'm gonna freak out. And whereas some players like Ridley just go for it. So I think Clark's still got something in him, and he's still a good, if you got him at that cheap price, that's fine. He'll, as long as they play him, I think he'll come good. But so Much is a worry, but not a huge worry, I wouldn't thought. Wait and see for team list. But yeah, Essendon might not actually bring anyone back in. They won by that much. They might just roll with the same team. A lot of people are happy to have Guelphy back.
Yep, that's me.
Oh, you had him?
Yeah, I kept him.
So he got 72, made a bit of money. The other trade I did was Banfield. Banfield went out and Phillips from St Kilda came in. He's got a low break even of -8 or something. Not -31 anymore. He's gone up a bit in price, but...
That wasn't Phillips. That was Ronke that had the -31.
Oh, right.
What did Ronke do this week?
Yeah, he did well.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, he did well. He got 74.
Oh, wow.
He's going up.
He went up $60,000 this week.
Because it's not just the score he gets this week, but it's because it's a 3-round rolling score that they measure it off. So he's making a lot of money. He's
good this week.
too expensive to jump on. You can't get him now. But Ed Phillips is 242,000 midfielder, minus eight break even. A lot of people saying he's a must have. He might be like a Kelly and push his price all the way up to 500,000 at some point. So he's one that I want, but there's some other ones as well. There's Smith, who's a forward for the Demons. They've unearthed another one. Fritch, by the way, got 96. He's still going up. And Smith, who was a rock bottom price forward, scored 86. Smith. Ford.
Wow. Who are these players?
I don't know. I don't know who he is, but he's a definite downgrade option. I could, you know, I could, instead of going Phillips, I could go Waterman to Smith or something, or Rioli to Smith. The other options are, well, Ridley, who I talked about in defense. Rice. He's another defender that you were thinking of getting. How did he go?
It was all right. I think he scored 50-something, didn't he? 56, I think he scored. Not as good as 89, though.
No. So there's some good downgrade options for mid and defence at the moment.
I keep waiting for the rookie options to dry up.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
No. And I think, yeah, as we get into the buys, what scares me about the buys is not just the players that you're going to miss for their buy, but the players that your team will go, you know what, let's give them 2 weeks off. Let's give them their buy at an extra week just to get them right for the second half of the season. So there could be a few players, you know, sort of hitting that general soreness and having a rest around this time of the year. And maybe some more rookies will come through too.
Well, we're going to need a lot. If we're going to have three trades a week, we're going to need to find, you know, at least four or five rookies in that time period. Oh, can I just bring up someone else that's got a ridiculously low break even?
Yeah, who?
Zorko. He's got a break even of 44.
Yeah, and he just smashed out another 134 points. He was let to run free, and he won the game for the Lions. That was a very high scoring game from both teams, and it, on a day where I wanted it to not be that. He was the other one that I really wanted to get in, but I could only bring in two last week, and McRae and Rockcliffe. I wanted to bring in Zorko as well, but
so Zorko has got a 3-round average of 141.
What's he worth now?
656,000. He will be tagged again, won't he?
But when he's not tagged, this is what he does.
Yeah. That's the problem. You can't just get him in the weeks that he isn't tagged. He has scored 57, 72, 63, 55, and 43 this year. All of those scores just this year.
Yeah, and that's why it's also the reason why I balked on getting him, because I already have Zach Merritt and I didn't want two players in my team that were going to give me that headache, let alone three if you include Tom Mitchell. Zach Merritt at least turned up this week, thankfully.
Yeah, I looked pretty seriously at Zorko this week, but I've decided to go Dangerfield instead. I think he's a lot safer.
And he could very well end up being a forward.
Dangerfield?
Yep.
Geez, that'd be handy.
Other players that are worth thinking about?
Yeah.
Can you think about McKernan as a ruckman?
No, you cannot.
All right. Can you think about Bagley as a defender?
You can if you want.
You would have been happier with Goddard's comeback this week.
He went a long way to redeeming himself. He just needs to average that for the rest of the season. 98, that's solid. Keep it up.
Now, Danger is one that I have been thinking about as well. Man, Gary Ablett, what is wrong with him? 47 points.
Whoa, what?
47 points.
I thought you were just meaning he's old and he gets injured, but 47?
He's coming down in price big time, so that's weeks away before you even think about him and he'd have to show something. And he probably will. We'll be talking about him at some point, probably.
Can I throw one at you?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I threw this at you a few weeks ago, but I could be wrong. Dale Thomas.
Did you throw this one at me? I don't know if I've heard you throw Daisy at me before.
Maybe I didn't. Maybe I just looked at it. But so his lowest score this year is 51, so that's pretty ugly. That's his only really bad score. Like, his next lowest is 74. But the last 4 weeks, he scored 87, 123, 128, 86.
And what's he priced?
612,000. That's a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Nah, we don't want that.
But he does have a really low break even, doesn't he?
And he's a forward.
Yeah. Crisp for the Pies. Got another 119.
Did he?
Jeremy Howe for the Pies, another defender. Got 132. Langdon for the Pies, another defender. Got 116. They're all going up in price. They've all got low break evens. Howe, Crisp, and Langdon. The Collingwood is just, they're fantastic fantasy scoring team at the moment. So it's not just their defenders, but their mids are scoring well. Their rookies are scoring well. Why don't I have any Collingwood players other than Murray in my team? They're fantastic fantasy scoring team. All I've got is Murray. I need some pies. I want Grundy for starters.
Yeah, Grundy would be good. Mm. Yeah, I was looking at Sidebottom this week. Considering him.
Yep, he did well.
See, I look for players that have runs on the board. I don't want players that have done it for three games and that's all they've done. So, like, you mentioned McKernan.
Mm.
Yeah, his last two games he's got 102 and 100, but he's never scored anything like that in his career.
He's just, he looked a bit better and he's got a low break even, and I need to get rid of Nick Nat.
Yeah. So if, I mean, and this year might be different because we've got a million trades. So maybe it's not such a bad thing to spend a trade to do that. But in a normal year, that would be a waste of a trade.
No, I'm not getting rid of Nick Nat until he turns into Grundy or Steph Martin, though. So
has his playing time increased yet?
Yeah, it went up to almost 75% this time.
Yes.
So a little bit for the first time. Yeah, Zorko is just one that I think about. Beams is starting to put together some good scores. What about Jack Darling of the Eagles as a forward, as a key forward? He's a key forward. He scored 151.
Not only did he score 151, Chris, but his last four games he scored over 100.
He's a key forward. He's a big brute. He's not one of these, you know, like schoolboy-looking type guys that you don't want in your team.
Not a very manly surname, though, is it?
Darling. It's not.
Can't do it.
Just because of the name. He's playing really well. He gets a lot of games over there in the West, and he was unstoppable against the best defender in the league, in Rance, who you've never heard of. Couldn't stop him. They're about the only players. Yeah, they're the big upgrade options, I think.
You're not going to Darling, are you? Are you seriously saying people should consider him?
Oh, I think you can. If he's that good, you can consider him. Yeah, I don't know if I could, because he's priced like the same as Heaney, right? And I'm going, well, I'd rather Heaney because he gets midfield time. I just don't like having those key forwards, except I will consider Buddy. And Buddy's back now, so you can consider Buddy again.
Buddy's different, though. So Buddy has consistently scored, you know, averaging 90s, 100s throughout his career. Jack Darling averaged, don't look it up, have a guess, what do you think he averaged last year?
78.
69.5.
Whoa.
And he played 21 games. The year before, 69.6. The year before that, 70. You're not picking up Jack Darling.
All right. That's settled. Are you going to look at Dusty when he bottoms out? Because he's just down, down, down. Same as Gary Ablett, down, down, down at the moment.
Hell yeah, I'll look at him when he's bottomed out. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got to start doing sensible trades because I chased Jack McRae and went for the top dollar. Oh, speaking of chasing.
Oh, yeah.
Our favourite of the week. Our favourite liker of the Realm of the Fantasy Gods for the week is Chase Nielsen.
A man after your own heart, Chris.
Yep.
Forever chasing.
If Nielsen was the name of my heart, yep. That's a cool name, though, isn't it, Chase?
That's a manly name. Hi, I'm Chase.
So cheers, Chase. And with that, we're going to say goodbye, and I'll say goodbye to Rocky for a week. I'll catch you next week, Rocky.
I'm going to say I hate you to Whitfield. Go back to school.
Let's not get too negative again. Come on, maybe you need to do some meditation.
Lead me through it, Chris.
All right, I need you to feel grounded, so plant your feet flat on the floor. Maybe even imagine that you're like a tree and the roots go into the ground and they hold you there. You're grounded, you're centered. Breathe and go.
Do it, feel.
No. I didn't say you let out the anger and then meditate. If you're grounded and centered and then you let out the anger, that's going to hurt somebody. Be careful.
All right. I'm going to need more practice.
Home.
Peace.
Out.